We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint,
batteries,
tools,
toilet paper,
extension cords, grocery items,
hardware for my cabinets,
snack items, crackers, and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies,
toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Bring it up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
Don't let that team stand in the way.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! Grand Rocker for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3.
Yes! This is the Buckeye Show.
All right, happy Monday to all you fine Buckeye fans. Timmy Hall here with you. We are getting ready for the first ever 12-team college football playoff. And of course, we knew it was coming, but to see the matchup right there in front of us, the Buckeyes playing a home game at the Shoe late December against the Tennessee Vols. Citrus Bowl matchup. Now we got one December 21st. 8 o'clock at night. We haven't had a night game at the Shoe in forever. We're going to get it. Ryan Baker, the touchdown maker, he's here producing for us and for Bodie. And sitting here with us tonight, Austin Ward, our Buckeye football expert extraordinaire and from the podcast. Good to see you, buddy. How we doing?
It's a pleasure to be here. You know, I'm too old, Timmy, to get those you up texts. But when you say, hey, you want to come do the Buckeye Show?
Buckeye Show, baby.
That's what gets me fired up. That's what gets me ready to rock.
Man, I feel like I've lived a week since just yesterday around lunchtime when the selection show was and we got the field and I was, you know, jotting my bracket down as we were doing our digital special over there on our YouTube channel and also on 10 TV Plus. So that was a lot of fun. It just, the college basketball fan gets you excited. And I know a lot of people
still... It's not as fun to fill out this bracket.
It's not as fun if you're looking at Ohio State's path, right? Ooh. But... there's a tough one, right? I mean, that's the gauntlet right there. You're going to exercise some demons if they are going to get this thing done. Ryan Day will have the luxury to answer a lot of questions if they win the national championship with the path that is in front of them. I am not sure that this team would be able to do it. It's going to be very, very hard. We're all about to find out. We're going to find out starting with the game on December 21st. You can't go anywhere until you win that first one. And you used to cover Tennessee Vols football.
I did.
So this is kind of worlds colliding. That's obviously a great football town. If anyone's ever been down to Knoxville or checked out a game at Neyland Stadium, Airplane Bottles U, like it's a special place. The walk in there, Rocky Top. These are two, I mean, you can't really get more famous fan bases, traditions. This is great stuff with the Buckeyes in Tennessee. This actually is what I wanted to see with a 12-team playoff is matchups like this. I think the first round matchups, the home site games, are a bit more interesting than what we're probably going to get in the second round if you look at the bracket.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's almost like college football is meant to be played on campus and not at these bowl sites that they are continuing to cater to. And I'll get off that soapbox maybe at some point if the playoff eventually weans itself off of these bowl systems.
But, right, right.
You know, I prefer to keep my Tennessee life separate from my Ohio State life, but that is unavoidable. I was getting a ton of texts from people around that program, fans, friends that I'd made along the time in Knoxville this morning, and people that are really fired up because these programs have not met outside of the Citrus Bowl you mentioned. Like, they have not set up home and homes. They've not had SEC Big Ten matchups, which is hard to really wrap your mind around because you see them play each other all the time in a lot of the other sports. They, because of the regional ties, because of the success of both athletic departments, you'd see men's basketball matchups in the NCAA tournament. You'd see women's basketball. You'd see tennis. You'd see soccer. You'd see them getting together all the time because Ohio State and Tennessee are two of the bigger overall athletic departments in the entire country.
Yeah, they're huge.
And they both have, as I can attest and surely tell you, two of the most passionate fan bases that you're ever going to find. And covering games, and the fact that I've been lucky enough to do that, I was thinking on the way in, Timmy, it's like 19 of the last 21 years for me professionally or, you know, being in college have been around the Tennessee program or the Ohio State program, Neyland Stadium or the Horseshoe. They are, you don't get better than that.
So whose fan base is a little bit more rowdy and a little bit more crazy after more, seeing both of them?
More rowdy or more crazy? It just depends on how you want to grade it.
Right.
The expectations.
I need a more specific definition of what you're going for there.
The expectations were, and I think, more irrational for Tennessee fans because, especially when I was covering them during the Lane Kiffin era and the Derek Dooley era, they are still expecting the Volunteers to go out and compete for national championships, and they were not even remotely close.
No, they weren't even close. I mean, you had some years there where they were falling down to a 6-7-8 win program.
They were 5-best. They were 5-7.
Yeah, under 500 for a year.
And lost a game to Kentucky when Kentucky did not have a quarterback playing in the game at all. They started a wide receiver at quarterback and beat Tennessee.
Who was that guy that day?
I don't even remember what this guy's
name was. Wow, that's crazy. They're down to like their fourth emergency quarterback, throw a slot wide receiver.
And they
just throw your Edelman out there.
Yeah, and they scored one touchdown and won the game.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Dealing with that sort of level of passion and animosity during that down period for Tennessee, that's the big difference between that program in Ohio State, where we look at this and there are no down periods really in Ohio State history, and Tennessee's trying to work back out through that. That's why they're so excited to come to Columbus, Timmy, is because I think that's one big difference between these fan bases right now, is that we're still 9 days removed from the game, and the blood is still spilling out, the passion, the disappointment. Ohio State fans expected this team to win every single goal that was out in front of them, and two of them have been removed,
and
they're still trying to get over that. Tennessee fans are ecstatic to be back into the playoff and to have a chance to, even if it's go on the road, they wanted to have a home game in Neyland, but they are embracing this opportunity and they want to travel, and it'll be fascinating to me how the Ohio State fan base reacts to that to try and lock them out.
Yeah, keep them out. Don't sell those tickets.
Don't sell the tickets.
Yeah, keep those tickets. Go and enjoy. I mean, hey, it's history.
It's historic. Yeah.
It's historic. We've been playing college football since, Rutgers played that first game back in the 1850s or whatever date that was. So this is crazy that we're getting this. And you know what? Talking about Tennessee, Ohio State has been in a mode where you would expect them, and the expectation has been for them to be in every single four-team college football playoff, and they haven't gotten in all those, and that's when, you talk about their fan base being a little bit more irrational, but our fan base being super passionate and having high expectations, where it can get a little bit rough, as we know, as we live in. But Tennessee is that exact type of program that I would have looked at, and so is Penn State, who is in the field, where I said, that's good news for guys like you, expansion to 12, good news for those programs that are rich in history, but they've maybe had a little bit more trouble keeping that consistency over the last 10 or 15 years. And now here you go. And I look at the top of the bracket, by the way, for the first round, that the fact that you get a Texas Clemson matchup, forget that Clemson is the 12 seed and had to win the championship. There's still a two-time national championship program here recently. And the fact that you get two blue bloods like that is a cool matchup. Even the Penn State hosting SMU is an interesting and intriguing one because we get to see what James Franklin does. We get to see what they do. And SMU had showed some grit and toughness coming back in their game. And then the battle for Indiana to round it out. Indiana on the road, in-state, but at Notre Dame for a chance to see who plays Georgia next.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the first round now scratches an itch for me. This is going to be fun stuff. And then we'll see the stupidity and how Boise State and Arizona State just get whisked into the second round. I think we can agree, right? That is stupid. Watching it in real time, it's dumb. I don't know how they had forever to think about this. And they walked into year one seeding it that way. Seed the best teams. That's how you come up with the best field.
Everyone knew that this would be the case. And you and I talked about it on Friday night. You said that feels like, a lifetime ago, because it was. So much has changed in college football just in 72
hours. Different world now.
But, I think everyone knew that was coming. And I think the way that the committee has a difficult job, but not an impossible job. And the people that organize the college football playoff have a difficult job, but not an impossible job. A lot of these issues logistically on Selection Sunday, or overall with not reseeding after the first round, or giving, all four buys to conference champions and conference champions only. Everyone in the world knew that that was a very bad idea, except the people who are like, thumbs up, go ahead and do that. We're going to green light it. And if we have to change it, we'll change it. Like this, we knew that there would be problems with it. But I do think I'm at the point where I got a lot of that frustration out on Sunday, on Selection Sunday, Timmy. And then now it's at the point where Okay, well, these are what the matchups are. You can't change it. These are what they decided. And those four matchups, there are a lot of storylines that are worth following. There's going to be really competitive football.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be great games.
You and I are not going to cry for Ohio State. They lost to Michigan at home, and they wind up with what could be.
I'm not going to cry for them, but I do think that they got end of the Penn State argument here.
Of course, but the real one is Oregon's the number one team in the country, and they had a special season going undefeated, and they won the Big Ten in their first year there, and they get to sit back and get the winner of Ohio State and Tennessee.
Here's your reward.
And likely go right into Texas in the next round, who has had an easy path, albeit playing in the first round. Texas doesn't seem like they were really dinged that much
and
for losing twice to Georgia, and of course Penn State wasn't. Yeah, of course Penn State gets the best deal out of anyone in this field. That is for sure. Austin Ward is hanging out with us here tonight, guys. We got a lot more to get to. Interesting to hear how one sarcastic comment really got us going in debate here in Buckeye Nation, and Ryan Day already responded. We'll give that to you next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Ma, the meatloaf!
The Fan. Preseason, midseason, offseason. We keep on rolling. You've got the Buckeye Show.
Yes, you do. Timmy Hall and Austin Ward and all you fine Buckeye fans tonight. You guys know the ways to get at us here. We're on Twitter and X at the Buckeye Show. We got the voicemail and text line. Listen to the number. Put it in your phone. 614-460-2896. That's 460-2896. And the YouTube chat is firing. That baby is just the place to be right now, chatting about this first ever 12-team college football playoff. It's going to be fun stuff.
I feel like, Timmy, that, and I'm not going to say this is for everyone, I'm sensing some shift in the mood. We've had 9 days in Columbus, I think, for Ohio State fans. Some will never get over it. I understand. Not speaking for everyone. But I'm hearing and sensing some people after Sunday, after a week to digest what happened.
Sure.
All right. Well, you know what? There is still a chance at a national title. And there's an SEC team that's coming into the horseshoe. This has never happened before. I think I might be getting close to ready for that. Everyone's mileage is going to differ on that. But I think that there are some people that are starting to move forward, because at the end of the day, Ohio State fans want Ohio State to win at the highest level. Of course, they want to win the rivalry, but they also want a shot at a national title, and they want to have bragging rights over programs like Tennessee and the SEC.
Absolutely.
And that is in front of them now.
This is big time stuff. It really is. And again, the bickering about the format, that'll be done for me in a second. I've only had my arguments about the seeding of this. That's really it. I was very much a proponent of expanding the field. I think this makes... these are now interesting games. You know, SMU gets to be a part of an interesting game, and so does Penn State, for that matter. Whatever you and I think, and we know to be true, that they are getting lucky by being two seed spots ahead of Ohio State, losing at home head-to-head with the same number of losses, one more win, but not really another fantastic win that supersedes anything Ohio State had. Whatever.
And Penn State doesn't have any top 10 wins.
But you know what? Their game now gets to be something that you would actually choose to flip into and see how they respond, see how they perform. Most of these other games, I don't think I would give a flip about Texas Clemson if that wasn't a playoff game. Right. I don't. If that was just some BCS bowl, maybe I'm checking out the ending of it. If I tune in and I get my ESPN alert that says, hey, close game in the fourth quarter, maybe. But if it doesn't lead to anything, then those are just disappointing seasons for programs like that. Now they have a way to play their way back into something substantial, something that matters. I don't want to see them go a lot more. I know we're already talking about it. I love it too, how we wait 10 years to expand, and then there's potential. Don't know if this is to be, right? But let's try to go to 16 right after that. Why don't we just stay with this for a while, fix the seeding issues, and then see how we go from here?
Or if you wanted 16, and that has been part of the discussion all along, first place.
And just go right to that.
Because they had the option.
Why the step-up thing?
8 or 16,
mm-hmm.
which mathematically are supposed to be how the brackets work. And you also would have avoided this nonsense
like
about the bias.
16 right in there?
Imagine that. That's how math works. But you know, they made it more complicated.
You said it. You don't get your buys when you go to 16.
And that's one. That's been one of the single biggest frustrations for people looking at this, because they didn't just seed it 1 through 12, because they had to make it more complicated, not just with 12, which means that you have to have four buys. But you know what? Let's not make it 1 through 12.
You could have buys with a 16, only you'd have to make it an 18, and then you'd have a couple play-in games at Dayton's Friends Stadium or something. Boy. Welcome Stadium in Dayton. Playing games. Let's go.
It's coming.
Right. Let's do it. So
Baker wants it. You can tell. He's just shaking his head behind the glass.
Baker wants to call those games. Be perfect.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, Timmy, if there's money on the line, I like to be a part of it. But I hate all of this. Like, we didn't need more than four to me. All these teams don't deserve a shot at a national championship to me.
Is that just the biggest thing for you?
Yes.
How many teams, though, do you think can win this? I feel like it's more than four, though,
I
that can actually win this.
I feel like it's Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, and Oregon.
All right, but
maybe Notre Dame.
I got to push back on something with you, though, because you think Ohio State's one of the teams that can win this. Could they have rightfully been in a four-team playoff, though, with that loss to Michigan?
No, the BCS, they wouldn't have deserved it.
The BCS computers had Ohio State as the number four. We talked about this on Friday.
That's BCS, though. The people wouldn't have put him in the 14. But
part of the conversation is the selection committee. How are we giving the power to these 12 or 13 people, or why? Doesn't there need to be some component looking at strength of schedule, strength of record? That's what the computer formulas spit out. Mm-hmm. And when people use that, Ohio State was number four in that because of the things that they accomplished.
And look, I'm with you when you're just sort of trying to build out who the best teams are. That's probably that I agree, that number of them being four. Who is one, two, and three, if I may ask, because I wasn't looking at
the ones that you would expect.
Oregon, obviously, would be one.
Yeah. Oregon,
Georgia, Texas.
Texas, and Ohio State.
And I was a proponent of, when they first said they were going to do this, get rid of the committee and bring back the BCS formula for
and just let that do one through 12.
Truly get the 12 best teams. If this is all about, we think there's more teams that can have a shot at this, conference champions and all that stuff, I get that stuff's still important, but we're actually saying it's not. Like, let's get rid of this and just put the 12 best in and go for it.
Because the humans are only using selective arguments. One is strength of schedule. One is conference championship. One is this and one is that. That's what, Nick Saban was not the perfect spokesman for that argument in favor of Alabama or against SMU on Sunday, but I don't think that his point is wrong. Not all wins are the same. And sometimes the committee's going through this and they're looking purely at the loss column, and sometimes they're not, because humans are humans and they have different biases and emotions and preferences, and the computers don't have that. Now, humans are going to determine what that formula would be, and we can have 25 different inputs if you want, but once they get in the room and when they ignore things like, well, the losses are the same over here for Penn State and Ohio State, and then they don't go to the head-to-head. Like, what are we doing? Those protocols are supposed to be in place for a reason.
Yeah, I'm trying to see on the fly here. Baker, maybe you can check out what the FPI rankings look like. Five, because Austin just told us who the one through four was right there. And some of those other teams that are in the field, like I'm sure Tennessee, Indiana, Notre Dame, Penn State, they're all going to be in there. But once you get down to, like, I'd be curious about IU and obviously SMU, Alabama, Arizona State, those guys, Miami, mm-hmm. what it would look like. But we talk about compromise when we go to finding a new format for something. If I was in the room and had a say, and Baker brings up a point like that, you're talking about a good balance between people seeding this, or we'll go with the 12, but instead of us trying to decide, like, oh, SMU won their games, Bama had three conference losses, we'll just let the computer format give the 1 through 12 and we'll go for that. I still wouldn't be whining and complaining if I was the 13th team that was let out, because you know why? We got a lot more teams that are in the party here.
Yeah.
And if you couldn't be in that top 12, I think that's mainly a you problem. What do you got, Baker?
So the FPI has Texas, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Penn State, Indiana, Miami, Louisville, SMU.
Oh, my goodness.
Louisville. How'd they sneak in there?
Can I get a computer formula to analyze the FPI computer formula?
See if that lines up. Wasn't that the thing about the BCS is there was multiple different computer formulas they used.
Yeah.
So you got those, you had different inputs in each, but it was kind of a conglomerate.
Yeah, they tweaked it over time, which is, you know, maybe they'll do that with the selection committee standards over time as well. But I think when it first started, you had like 13 different polls and inputs that they were putting in, and they would take out your top one, they would remove that, and your lowest one, they would throw that one out. So, you know, it was different ones that they would try and come to a consensus on those teams with a lot of different models and inputs, and then we got to where it was. And
all right,
people are like, well, I don't know, it's too confusing.
It's weird. It is. I want to save the Herbie discussion for coming up here in the next segment, because I know you guys are dying to hear that good stuff. It is juicy today. It's thick. It's rich. It's where it's at. But a little tidbit that I can get you right now. So they had the Jake Diebler radio show, men's basketball show today. And I know it's weird timing for this. Like, we're coming right off of the college football playoff. But hey, Hoops did get a big win.
Huge win.
A much needed win at home against Rutgers. And some news about their roster that the guys were talking about coming back from a break today.
Anything you can update us about regarding the status of Aaron Bradshaw at this point?
Yeah, so Aaron is back with our team after the university concluded its process. Now there's going to be a return to play aspect that, you know, we're going to have to start evaluating right away, and there's no firm timeline, right, for what that looks like, but he will be back with our team. And, you know, as far as, you know, anything regarding the process, we can't comment further on the university's process, but that's the latest update.
You got to love it. I mean, they hit that while Jeremy from Pearl Jam was just playing.
Had the out music going.
Let's
just sneak in this update real quick.
It was just fantastic. We got the Aaron Bradshaw news. We're listening to Pearl Jam. But hey, you know, I don't know if that means, like he said, if he's going to be back for their Auburn game. It is a huge couple of games, two of the next three. Auburn back home against Valpo, Deeb's alma mater, and then Kentucky, which is fascinating how we have a men's basketball game against Kentucky right as the Buckeyes are getting ready to host Tennessee. So that game will be on 1460 ESPN Columbus. Like, that's where that basketball game will be found. All right. Bleeding Lips, Adam King from 10 TV. Austin Ward, he's here. Of course, you got me. In 2 minutes, we're going to talk about Kirk Herbstreit's comments about you guys, the Ohio State fans, yesterday. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
Tailgating is a state of mind. You are listening to the Buckeye Show.
Timmy Hall, Austin Ward, and our friend with the bloody mouth from 10 TV, Adam King. Good to see you, Adam.
It is a pleasure to be in studio this time. Do you hear that audio? Nice and crisp and beautiful.
I was going to go turn on a fan and just blow it into the mic the whole time for you.
Is this better for everybody?
My goodness. So we're going to get into the Kirk Herbstreit discussion, but to catch people up, we had two things with Adam that we had to give you a bunch of crap about.
Rough 3 days.
My God, I know. We had Friday where you wouldn't so much as pull off at a rest area to give us 7 minutes on the cell phone.
I had to get 7:30. Back to anchor. What do you think if I walk on set 7?
You had plenty of time. It was 7 o'clock.
I had to put a show together.
You're on at 11.
Okay.
You've got producers that do that.
2 hour drive. You think if I walk on 7 minutes late, I'll say, hey, sorry about that.
You're not going to be 7 minutes late.
I had to stop and talk to Timmy Hall. 7 o'clock.
Yes.
I had to stop and talk to Timmy
Hall. Or you say no. Or you say, Tim, I'm sorry. I can't do it. Let's look at another time when my face isn't bleeding and I'm not driving down I-71 with the windows down.
You know what, Timmy? You wanted me on the show.
You wanted it.
You wanted me.
So
I showed up.
So there's that. And there was the fact that he said, oh, I saw your guy Dane Sanzenbacher down there. So he's doing the game for you guys, huh? I said, Adam,
I'm never coming back on this show.
You're talking to us right now.
Never.
How are we? We weren't airing a high school football game.
I was confused. I was disheveled. I had been in the cold. I was still warming up.
And so that cold led to Adam's face getting all craggly, which never happens because he's a very handsome man.
I am not a craggly man.
And he wasn't using chapstick at the
rate. That's not what happened.
That a guy like Adam King
did he tell you that it was a lack of chapstick that caused it? He cut himself shaving like he was seven years old.
Hold on. I think it was a mix of both.
You think he cut himself shaving?
That's what he told me.
It looked to me like the dam burst on.
It was cracked up lips. It led to each other. And the lips burst, and then what happened? Is like my lips were chapped as could be, and then so when I literally just like an inch, and then it was just like all
it was Old Faithful.
It was unbelievable.
It was so we're doing
it
our
was did, unbelievable
guys go and watch this because they did a good job. I think Wes Coleman was producing,
very good job,
and they didn't go into a tight shot on Adam at the start of our Chasing
the
Championship.
Had to change the rating on the show.
But my goodness, you know me. I would always be one to point out mistakes like we did on the Friday show. We gave you a bunch of crap in real time for having a bad cell signal. That's what we do here. We laugh about that stuff.
Cell was too good, actually, because we heard every single bit of air blowing through that vehicle.
It was too good. That speaker system and that Santa Fe, I got to tell you, that's awesome stuff. But we're doing that show yesterday. And you go to the first comment, like it starts with Dom, he goes to Dane, he says something, I say something, cuts to you and Dom, and I look over and your mouth is just full of blood, like Rocky gave you an uppercut. I couldn't believe it. And I stood there and I didn't say a single thing about it, and we avoided it the entire broadcast. Shame on me, I know.
So there are a couple moments here that I couldn't believe. Every time they would cut to Dane or Timmy or Dom, I was like wiping my mouth
with
a rag to make sure that there wasn't blood. The show must go on, ladies and gentlemen.
It was so dumb.
He walked into the Woody for the press conference right before 2, and he pulls this tissue out of his pocket just covered in blood. And he's like, do you want to hear his story? Like, I think it's too late.
I don't think I do.
I need to know now. And he's like, I'll autograph for it. I'm like, why are you covered in blood?
I mean, it was 5 minutes before we went to go out on that. And Adam is under the gun doing graphics right up to the end. And all of a sudden, he is just bleeding profusely from the mouth.
When I would talk, the blood was hitting the desk.
It was splattering down.
I was trying to clean it up. The best part, real quick, before we move on from the story. No one brought it up to me. Nobody said they could notice until they were like told about it.
They're lying.
Except no. One person. Are you ready for this?
They're lying.
Are you ready for this? My dad today.
Your dad.
He's like, hey, can I ask you something about the show yesterday? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you like really sick? I'm like, no, what's wrong? He's like, your lips were like really red. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, we were debating it for like 30 minutes. He's like, I mean, I'll just ask it. You wearing lipstick on air now?
Well, you know, Dad, you get into this mode as a male anchor and you wear so much makeup that it just kind of grows on you.
No, Timmy Hall slugged me and then they said, all right, let's
go. Fighting.
Timmy, here's the problem. Adam needs to get a razor company sponsorship. He's using a rusty old disposable Bic that you can get at the Speedway down the border.
He's got a Bic stick.
That's exactly the razor that I'm using.
We need to get him a Dollar Shave Club sponsorship.
Yeah, I've been in the club for 10 years.
I shave here before I go on air all the time.
Yeah, and it's disgusting.
It's not. I might add. I mean, you know, it gets that nice clean shave when you go on.
Use one of the bathrooms as your own personal shave pit.
He told me that. And I was like, well, I think that's the first problem. Why are you risking it right before
you go on
television?
That is true. All right. It's a little close.
Got to get to this.
It's over.
That part's over. We go on to this part. So Kirk Herbstreit, who everyone kind of understands where the relationship with him and Ohio State fans has been for years. A lot of stories there. And, you know, if you'll hear it on their podcast, what Common Man said about Herbstreit, who they used to work together. He's got his thoughts. They're not necessarily of the most positive variety. So go and check that out.
Not the best.
Here is Herbstreit yesterday. This is like first thought. Yeah. Oh, the matchup's here. What do you think about the matchup? It goes to this instead of like, oh, classic battle there. Tennessee, Ohio State. That should be good.
They will have that weather advantage, Kirk, as Ryan Day and the Bucks will try to bounce back from the disappointment against Michigan.
After the way the Ohio State season ended against Michigan, I don't know if it would have been better for Ohio State to go on the road to get away from their home crowd that'll be booing after their third down not converting and the punter comes out, booing Ryan Day. They'll have to rally and have a good start to that game, or it could turn sideways with the home crowd, in my opinion.
My problem with him now with a take like that is he has let this become such a big elephant in the room in his life and how he does his job as the college football analyst in America, right? I mean, he is the ESPN ABC.
I mean, he's going to be here for the game.
He's going to be calling the game. Yeah.
He's going to be here for the game. He has let this become really personal for him, and you can tell it's almost in the complete opposite way as how Desmond Howard just blindly loves his alma mater to his detriment as an analyst. I think it's just a tired, old, stale act for Desmond, that is. And then this part of it for Kirk, it just was such a lousy look to go to that, to be hammering Ohio State fans that might have expectations. Sure, there's some that are even beyond reasonable with the expectations, but to be losing and not putting up any offense to that Michigan team and to look like you're going to lose it, and then you did lose it, and to have some boo birds in your home stadium, I mean, that's just life. That's football. Your thoughts, guys. Adam, what do you think?
First of all, the one thing that I really noticed immediately after the projections came out, I didn't see Buckeye fans saying, "We're not going. Boycott the shoe. No, no." I saw people on Twitter that have been complaining for a week, and they have every... I would think if you sat Ryan Day down and said, does Ohio State fans have a right to be frustrated? He would have said, of course. I wanted to win that game too. But they all rallied back together. They said, all right, guys, it's not over.
No doubt.
And if
in my opinion, some are too positive, like the Buckeye fan accounts. It's like, oh, they're going to win it all now. Yeah. Look at that path. I don't know.
When you look at the shoe, I do not think there is going to be any booing when they take the field against an SEC team, a night game in the shoe, the first ever home playoff game. That place is going, Ryan used the word eight times. I thought it was perfect. Electric. It's going to be unlike anything we've seen.
Yeah, it's going to be saucy.
It's going to be saucy.
We're going to boo. You think we're going to boo the first time there's a punt? Give me a break.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if it's a fourth quarter and they're down 48-0, there might be some boo birds.
Yeah.
At that point, it's definitely possible. I just think your point is well made, Timmy. I think that Kirk, I think he is the best college football analyst working. But I also think that he spends more time on social media than any of the rest of them combined. And he shouldn't. He doesn't need to pay attention.
You don't need to.
Because it's not just, it seems to hurt him more when it comes from Ohio State because of his alma mater. And because he's lived in Columbus and worked in Columbus. And I can understand why. But he's hearing it from every single fan base every single week. He doesn't. He should not be this level of jaded that he's trying to lash back out at them. And then he makes himself part of the story. I think that part is incredibly unfortunate for everyone involved.
This was the best way to do it if you were Ryan Day here today.
Well, that happens sometimes on a 3-and-out anyway, so we're good. We're used to it. No, I mean, we're fired up to be at home. We can't wait to be at home. It's going to be a great atmosphere, and our guys are fired up to go finish the season with a win in Ohio Stadium.
How about the Lantern reporter going to that one?
Well, I did notice he stayed on the Zoom. He did not want to show up and ask it in person.
Still asked it for the question, Noah.
That was the big topic after yesterday. I'm sure he was somewhere else. I thought it was funny. I'm like, all right, good. You don't have to be here.
What's your message to Buckeye Nation?
I will say, I thought Ryan handled that remarkably. I thought that's an awkward predicament to be put in. The thing is, you can't scoff that question off. I'm not going to get into that. Because then it's like, well, you're not going to comment on your own fan base booing?
Chuckle a little bit.
Yeah, he laughed and he said,
Back your fan base.
I love my fans. They'll be fine. They'll be fired up.
They get after
Great
us.
Answer.
They get
yeah.
after us sometimes anyway.
As it should be.
It's all good.
You know what? This is a premier program in college football. They're paying a lot of money. The lowest ticket's $350. You're going to pay that kind of money.
You're allowed to be upset. They're going to go for a lot more.
They start on the second-hand market. Starts $100 on Thursday.
Good luck.
Yeah. Like Taylor Swift
good
tickets.
Yes. I think the queue is going to be full even before the queue is even open. Austin Ward and Adam King of 10TV are here. Adam, a stick right there. The quarterback picture at Ohio State in 2025 gets a little bit clearer. We'll discuss that next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
Death, taxes, and beating Michigan every damn year. This is your flagship home for Ohio State football. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
dreaming of the day when the script Buckeyes become the permanent men's basketball uniforms?
Yes, look nice.
This is the Buckeye Show,
presented by Coors Light.
Timmy Hall, Austin Ward, Adam King from 10TV, jumping in the studio here as we're getting ready for the 12-team college football playoff. Now, I got to tell you for a minute about my friends at Tri-State Men's Health. Yes, indeed. Because it's the holidays, it's a time of love and joy, but if you're suffering from that dreaded acronym, that's ED, erectile dysfunction, this season can be tough on you. And if you remember that first time that you failed to perform in the bedroom, you probably laughed it off like it was no big deal. But then if it happens a second time, a third time, you know it's a problem. And you don't have to be embarrassed about it. It can happen. Tri-State Men's Health is here to help you with that. They've got treatment plans that can get you back into action. Those pills or herbals are going to fail. Well, they've got treatments with success rates, as I've been telling you, well over 90%, and some can have you last an hour or more. That's as long as our selection show special.
It's too long. That's as long as my lip bled for.
That's right. You're watching Adam bleed, and you're fixing your ED issues all at the same time.
That
same amount of time.
That might be the weirdest sentence that has ever been said on the Buckeye Show.
All right, be quiet. So check them out at tristatemenshealth.com. They've got wonderful locations right here in Central Ohio, the one in Westerville, if that's close and convenient to you. If it's not, how about right there in Hilliard? You can grab some donuts with me because I live right around the corner, right there off of 270 and Cemetery Road. They got an expert staff, and if you're like a lot of men, you could be doing it the day after your appointment. Hey, now, Tri-State Men's Health.
I didn't mean to interrupt your read. I thought it was over. I apologize.
That's all right. You don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
Best thing to do.
It says be quiet.
Just let them finish.
Yeah.
Good job, Adam.
ED. Just let him finish. Tri-State Men's Health.
Indeed, indeed. All right, so Devin Brown needs to get some lumber and rebuild those boats that he burnt. So we got the news yesterday. Number 33, Devin Brown, he's going to go in the transfer portal. So we get a little bit clearer with our 2025 Ohio State quarterback picture. Austin, I know you're very in tune to this, and we talked a little bit on Friday's show. Julian Sain has felt like the guy. If there's going to be maybe some incoming help in the transfer portal, in the way of maybe a veteran that would be a solid backup and someone that can be another voice, a good leader in the locker room. We know there's a lot of other guys in this quarterback room already, and it's not a shock to see at least somebody hitting the portal.
Yeah, it's, I would say, mildly surprising that Devin Brown is the first one. I didn't think it was out of the question that given his commitment to Ohio State, his belief in his skill set, the opportunity that would still be out there. I mean, he has been the backup ahead of Julian Sain all year.
Right. So he'd have the chance to fight for it.
Maybe there's a chance that you would at least go through the spring, which, you know, Joe Burrow did in his battle with Dwayne Haskins. And there have been a ton of comparisons thrown out for Devin Brown and Joe Burrow throughout their careers, dating back to their recruitments, the whole deal. So I thought that was possible. But again, it's not groundbreaking, seismic, shocking that he would want his name out there and find an opportunity to potentially go start somewhere for sure next year, because the writing is potentially on the wall given what Julian Sain can provide. But that's just the first piece of clarity, because there is still more that is going to have to happen. This room is going to be in transition. Teams want Lincoln Kienholz, whether this is the fun part to talk about or not. They are making that known, whether that you consider that tampering or anything else. It's just the reality of the situation, and Ohio State would very much like to keep him. Aaron Nolan is out there as well, but without Devin Brown, there is a noticeable lack of veteran experience in that room, and Ohio State's going to have to find someone to replace them.
Austin's here, Adam King at 10TV is here as well, and I think the hard thing is, Adam, when you're a guy like Devin Brown and you've been sitting, you've been getting spot time, he's come in and made some heady football plays.
Yeah.
He just hasn't had a lot to throw on film here this year, didn't really get that bowl game, but like Austin said, to be the backup at a place like Ohio State, you got to be a good football player. And we know that this guy's got talent, but I'd be very curious. Like if Devin Brown stayed, he's not, but if he stayed and was going to be potentially the guy next year, I'd be really curious as to what he would look like as the full-time starter.
I don't think there's a world where he would have stayed, because I don't think there's a world where he would have been the full-time starter. I think there's a couple things.
Then in your view, makes that a good decision.
Yes.
If that's what you want in life, to start and play football.
So the interesting thing is you have to think about the Ohio State quarterback room like an NFL quarterback room. And you have to have a backup that is 100% capable. I mean, look what happened in the Michigan game. If Will doesn't go back in the game, the question is, what's next? Devin was, I give him credit.
Well, Georgia's dealing with that right now.
Yeah, they're dealing with that to a third extent. I mean, you know, you're exactly right. What are they going to do?
How's that dude doing after the obvious targeting?
Yeah, but it's,
almost, I don't know how he didn't get knocked out on the field there. My goodness.
But you're exactly right. So in that regard, you have to have a backup that is not only good, not a young guy, but like somebody that is capable of taking you to a championship. I think for Ohio State, Devin Brown has been great. He's been here. He's worked hard. I give him credit. He could have transferred out last year. He could have said, peace.
He also could have transferred right now and said, I'm not going to the playoffs.
Yes, and that's very respectable of him to say, I'm going to stay here and finish this out. But you have to reset the clock on Ohio State's quarterback room. Ohio State got kind of screwed by Quinn Ewers leaving, and it put them in limbo that they've been trying to get out of for the past two seasons. Quinn Ewers was supposed to be the quarterback right now. Now, they did a good job going and finding Will Howard, but if you bring in Julian Sayin, or if you give Julian the job next fall, he's got 2 years, and then it's Tavion St. Clair.
Absolutely.
And then you start the clock over of the two-year quarterback, which is how it's always been.
But you also, and believe me, I can be victim of this too, because I've been a big fan of Tavion St. Clair and just the idea of having that Ohio guy that kind of gets things a little bit more. But you also can't predict the future. And we don't know with certainty that Tavion St. Clair will be that guy in 2 years or how Julian Sayin is going to look. I think he's going to be pretty fantastic.
He
has
to be.
But all these guys, these slam dunk, can't miss prospects?
Yes. You're talking about the number two quarterback in his class in St. Clair. You're talking about the number one quarterback in his class. And I mean, you can't ask for anything more in Sayin. They have to be. It's no different than when Ohio State got Terrell Pryor. You didn't sit there and say, boy, I hope he pans out. You said, here you go. This is the future. And if you're Ryan Day, that's, I think, one place where the fan base is 100% behind you. It's hard to look at a signing day like Ryan Day just had and knowing what he's got in the quarterback room and commitments down the line and say, we got to get rid of this guy. This is terrible. Because in reality, he's built a phenomenal program at the base. Yes, they need to look at the offensive line. That's important. But in the quarterback room, he's got it back to a point. I mean, Ryan, remember, went out and found C.J. Stroud. That was his guy. Well, he was a rookie of the year. He got kind of screwed over with Quinn Ewers. Now he gets a chance to get back to his guys here. And I thought he's done a good job with Will.
Wasn't Kyle his guy too, though?
Yeah. I think if you have to lump some of those together.
That's a fair point.
Because Ohio State was not slamming the door on Kyle McCord a year ago. They had conversations and they wanted to open up the competition again between Devin Brown and Kyle McCord. And when he left, they had to go out and find someone like Will Howard. Kyle McCord was one of, if not the most productive statistical passers in college football this year. If you want to blame somebody, I don't think it's Quinn Ewers. I think the fact that it did not work out with Kyle McCord shuffled up the decks and the succession plan that they had in mind. But you can put them together.
But let me ask you this.
Stuff like that happens, though.
No, it does. It's going to continue to happen.
Point. My point wasn't to say that Sayin and St. Clair will be misses. It's just that you don't ever know what's going to happen. Like year to year now in college football with the transfer portal, with all the other factors that are at play, like what we're just talking about here, some guy winds up leaving a year early because he's so good. And then maybe that next guy isn't quite as ready and struggles a little bit and maybe throws off the start of your season, or you just wind up losing a big game early in the year if you have a big non-conference game, and that's the difference between a win and a loss.
You
just never know.
I'll say this. I hate transfer portal quarterbacks. I think it is the one position that going and getting someone out of the portal is really hard. I think Ohio State knocked it out of the park with Will Howard, and it's not about on the field, because quarterbacks are going to transition pretty well. It's about in the locker room. It's about integrating an offense. There's something you get.
Yeah, I mean, hit it well there.
Yeah, he did very well with that because he has nailed that. But there are a lot of times you swing and miss on that. And it's a guy like Lincoln who has been in this offense. I understand if you don't think he's the right guy to step up and take it, but he gets it. He understands the Ohio State offense better than anyone else out there. And so I would worry about them going out in a couple years and having to find
another. I prefer recruiting, you know?
Yeah.
I prefer recruiting.
Get a guy here.
Having the quarterbacks that are here.
They have proven that they can recruit and develop quarterbacks.
It's done, Austin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's done.
Adam, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks.
What's coming up tonight? 11 o'clock?
Ohio State, Tennessee. Oh, we're going to talk a little Aaron Bradshaw. Ohio State men's soccer getting ready for the College Cup.
Final four.
Final four.
Yeah, that's really good for that men's soccer team. Impressive stuff. And Cincy,
your Monday Night Football. Cincinnati Bengals.
Hooday. Austin's got the hoodie on tonight. Good man. There's someone in college football whining and crying today, saying they got to change their whole approach to something. We'll tell you who that is and what they're saying. We'll keep our finger on the college football pulse. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3. The Fan.
Time for the College Football Pulse on the Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by Roof Revivers. Whether your roof needs a quick repair or a full replacement, Roof Revivers has you covered. Visit roofrevivers.com today.
Hour two of the Buckeye Show. Timmy Hall, Austin Ward tonight, our Buckeye football expert here on The Fan, also from The Podcast. You should check him out there. We appreciate everybody checking us out on our YouTube channel tonight. We see you guys there. In the chat room, having some spirited discussions of your own on the quarterback situation at Ohio State, where it turned to last segment. And obviously, the Buckeyes taking on the Tennessee Volunteers.
The Mighty Ones.
Unbelievable. December 21st, Saturday night at the Shoe. A lot more talk about the game coming up here this hour. Baker here with some college football pulse tidbits. I see we got the Heisman finalists out now.
Yeah, guys, they were just released. It was probably right about 20 minutes ago from right now. I don't think there's any surprises. Travis Hunter, Ashton Jeanty, Cam Ward, and Dylan Gabriel. Your guys' thoughts on those four and who might win this thing?
Yeah, where are you at here, Austin? You take it first.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that Cam Ward was invited. I don't know what that is based off of. It's not been team success. A lot of the quote-unquote Heisman moments that he generated were rebuttals to his own missteps previous in games. Like, I don't really understand it. I think Cam Ward had a fine season. Is he a most outstanding player in college football? I disagree. I think that Travis Hunter is likely to win, although Dylan Gabriel made a pretty compelling closing argument with another phenomenal outing in the Big Ten championship game. But I would be stunned if it goes to someone other than Travis Hunter.
Yeah, Shedeur Sanders is quite close to what Cam Ward has been as a player this year, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going by that off of numbers, like you were saying, Austin, team success, you do have to give the credit a little bit for Miami, but not by much. I mean, Colorado was 9-3, missing out. Miami, what'd they finish? 10-2,
yeah,
missing
I mean,
out.
Yeah. ACC officials gave them two of those wins. So
that is true. That is true. They had some
help.
Had some close calls.
Did some assistance.
With some penalties or lack of penalties in the end zone at the end of some football games there. Was it the Virginia Tech game was one of those for Miami? That was kind of wild there at the finish. Yeah, Jackson Dart is somebody statistically that is, his touchdown passes weren't close. Jackson Dart only had 25 touchdown passes. That was not meant to be putting him in the Heisman discussion. Take my word for it. Kyle McCord, just looking at the numbers here, as you were alluding to, led the nation in passing this year with 4,326 yards. Cam is right there next to it. Look, like for what Ashton Jeanty was, I mean, 2,497 rushing yards.
He's incredible.
That would be my pick. And that is only a very, very, very slight edge over Travis Hunter, who is just an absolute unicorn on the football field for playing both ways the way that he does. But Jeanty, to be that kind of workhorse back, and almost everybody knows what you've got to stop when you face a certain football team, and to still have the yard per carry, that to me is the overly impressive thing. He's got a J.K. Dobbins-like yard per carry, and he's got 344 totes for almost 2,500 yards and one shy of 30 rushing touchdowns. It's a ridiculous season,
yeah,
what this guy's done. He's my pick.
I resisted a lot of the Travis Hunter conversation throughout much of the season, but it became, he wasn't just doing it as a one-off. Like the amount of snaps that he was being asked to play and the level that he produced, like he's not the best wide receiver or maybe even a top five wide receiver. But if you are in the top 15 conversation while playing as one of the best five
DBs.
Defensive backs in the country, like the level he's at being asked to do it. If we're supposed to ask about who the most outstanding college football player is, like this guy is doing more things on the football field than anybody else.
Yeah, I got, and that's your pick.
Yeah.
I got no problem with that. he probably is going to win it. And I do think Ashton Jeanty is going to get plenty of votes.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be like quite the biggest landslide that we've ever seen. 2 years in a row, too, because you go back to what you just said about Cam Ward. And I was kind of thinking a lot of those same things about my guy, Jaden Daniels, when LSU's quarterback last year with what I think a 9-3 regular season also won the award. But he was absolutely brilliant on the football field. You take a little bit, you take a little bit away from what you put in that column of team success and just focus on the player and the numbers that he put up. He was doing a lot of that in lesser important games, and you could make some accusations of some stat, you know, buffing in certain cases. Now you look at what he's doing as a rookie in the NFL. Clearly, I mean, and that shouldn't be, you shouldn't be looking at what he's done now to back it up. The decision was the decision back then. And you know what? He's a great football player, and he won it that year. It was maybe a down year for voting for the Heisman.
But there's similarities between last year and this year with Cam Ward making it. And I'll tell you exactly what happened. Because they distribute the votes for the Heisman Trophy ballots just like the Electoral College. They're spread around the country, and there was no slam dunk candidate from the SEC. So everyone in that part of the country then rallied around Cam Ward. That's exactly what happened, and that's why he's a Heisman finalist.
All right, Baker, we'll get to this thing here, which has been one of the more annoying things about the last 24 hours in college football. I'll say that.
I'm sure a lot of people were annoyed by Ohio State Twitter after that loss to Michigan and those passionate fan bases. That's the way it gets. And Alabama fans were pretty, I don't know if you were annoyed. Maybe you were entertained by what was going on with social media in Alabama today.
Good point. And, a little bit of both. It's fun to see him. It's fun to see him out there.
Yeah, it can pass a couple hours on your phone there if you've got nothing to do.
But it's just scroll. Oh, my God. Another one. Yeah, another one.
A lot of laughs. Saying a lot of chuckles. Greg Byrne is a part of it now, and he did say, the Alabama AD, that maybe they need to look at how they schedule in the non-conference after being left out of the first 12-team playoff.
You know what? That's exactly what those SEC football fans deserve, right? I mean, this is the guy where you've got Alabama who schedules the Citadel every year. You got Ron Mercer getting games all throughout the SEC as well. Georgia Southern, they get their game.
Chicken salad Saturday, I think they call it, down there in the SEC.
They get them late in November, too. They like to give themselves a little pat on the back before they go into, you know, their conference championship game.
Bake, remind me real quick. Is Oklahoma, was that a non-conference game?
No, they're not. They're not.
Vanderbilt, was that a non-conference game?
No, it was not. I know Oklahoma feels like a Big 12 game, but no, that was a six-win SEC team.
Huh. So they lost all of their games inside the conference. It had nothing to do with their non-conference schedule. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Huh. I think those two you mentioned were under 500.
Interesting. You're pointing the finger in the wrong place, Greg Byrne. It might win you some points out there, and you might be making a point for other teams that could apply that you don't need to worry about strength of schedule. But it doesn't apply to Alabama.
You know, if you want to point the finger at somebody, point the finger at Luke Fickle in Wisconsin, because they didn't turn out to be very good. And in a perfect world, that's a decent non-conference home and away that you would set up. That's not a bad one. That's an upper echelon Big Ten program most years. But the point remains, if, say, Alabama had even a tougher, like, say you add Wisconsin, but you added another big boy, if you were even a tougher non-conference schedule and you won that game, say you had Ohio State. Well, that's a bad one because then we'd lose a game. But pick someone that was really good from another conference.
How about just playing another conference game then?
Or adding a conference
game. Because look at their schedule. Like,
I'm just using it for this.
I know, but
just for the sake of the argument, say you had, you know, Miami or someone like that, and then you won the game and they were still, 9-3, 10-2 this year.
Yeah.
That's helping your case.
Yeah.
If you did continue to go and lose three games in conference, then if you had another massive non-conference win, you probably have to think about it. It's not just the strength of schedule overall. It's what are the actual wins? Yeah. What games did you win, and did you have bad losses?
I just think this particular Alabama team does not make that case well, and it reflects on them poorly to say that non-conference scheduling is the reason. Like, they did not schedule aggressively in the non-conference already. Why would that help them to change it? They won their games outside the SEC.
I just love some of the logic. Like, I was bookmarking some of the crazy ones that I would see from Bama fans. How about, like, this guy named Joey? The fact that America is rejoicing that Alabama won't be in proves that Alabama belongs in the CFP. Yes. If the entire country is terrified of playing them, odds are that Alabama deserves a spot. I think terrified is an interesting word.
It's the wrong word.
Right there. And just the entire logic of those two statements in general that, oh, because some people are happy that Alabama was bad this year, that just means that they should be in. So if the Patriots are, I don't know, 3-14 and have a crappy year in the post-Belichick, post-Brady era, and we're all happy that they suck finally because we're just ready for something new, oh, that must mean we're scared of them and they should be in the playoffs because they can do some damage. No, it might just mean that they suck or they didn't deserve to go.
Yeah, I can go ahead and address some of that for random Joey that you bookmarked there on the X account. Ohio State would have gladly played Alabama in this playoff without question. And they would have started by breaking down film of that electrifying offensive performance that they turned in against Oklahoma. Like, I know that teams can look bad and have low moments. Like Ohio State had one 9 days ago, but that loss to Oklahoma was as bad as any contender looked in almost any game all year outside of Notre Dame's loss. That's why they're not in, period.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. Yeah, so Kalen DeBoer, you got some problems, but Alabama, you can stay out. You can call up Paul Feinbaum's show and scream all you want at that guy.
Ohio State would kick Nick Saban's butt.
Yeah, That's what we would do. And Saban doesn't even, and he's making the arguments too. It's great. He had some comment about how the Pittsburgh Steelers lost to the Cleveland Browns.
It's a pretty great idea. ESPN is putting billions of dollars into the Selection Sunday show and the whole process of the playoff, not just the show. But you have Nick Saban being a paid employee of Alabama still to go advocate for that program in the first 10 minutes of that show, and you have Kirk Herbstreit attacking Ohio State. Great show you got there, ESPN.
Nice stuff, right? All right, so Bill Belichick, he's also still talking about the North Carolina coaching job, a little thing called We'll See. That's about the status that he had on that. You can grab that t-shirt in the 971thefan.com store right now. Our guys from Breaking Tees. All right, there's been some thoughts about building the excitement for this once-in-a-lifetime game at Ohio Stadium. We'll touch on an idea, there we go, that's being highly debated next. Austin is in. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but you've accepted that. If the colors scarlet and gray made a sound, that sound would be this. This is the Buckeye Show.
Timmy Hall and Austin Ward here tonight. And yes, indeed, we are brought to you by our good friends at CareSource and also by Coors Light. We thank them for sponsoring. It's a lovely radio show. Sometimes I just get a hankering for a nice Coors Light when I get home and kick my feet up.
Do you sometimes think that those in front of you are real?
Sometimes I do. I just want to reach for one and have some nice cold Rocky Mountain refreshment.
I can tell that the mountains aren't blue for those.
No, they're not.
They're just a prop.
They're not. But we do have fake ice, and that refreshes me.
Fake ice?
Just looking at it, yes, because it makes me think about real ice.
I just look behind you, and I see that mountain is blue.
That mountain is very, very blue. Very blue. By the way, I had the plug sheet. That was out today, and you know what? Good man, Austin Ward. Austin is doing some work. Make work your favorite. Work's your new favorite.
Work is my new favorite.
He's working tomorrow with Beam on Morning Juice.
I am.
Where your guest will be Jean-Luc Grandpierre, so talk some jackets.
I brought a cot in. I'm going to sleep here tonight, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, ready to go. You're going to get up at 4:30 anyway. 7:17 in the morning, they'll talk some jackets. Nice way for the boys to end their trip. They're going to come home, play a game tomorrow. So they got a Tuesday-Thursday swing, Flyers and Capitals. So a good chance being at home. And later on in the day, how about Tuesdays with Tabari on Bishop and Friends? Dom joins them at 10:30 in the morning. So that's going to be lovely. Austin working two straight on Morning Juice. Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, actually.
It's coming back.
That's 9 more hours.
Hey,
I'm Buckeye goodness with Austin Moore.
I'm here to talk about the Buckeyes, okay? It's the playoffs.
So am I. That's what
Let's
we do
ready.
Here. That's what we do here. We're excited for this. This is crazy. This is amazing. I mean, as long as we've been playing college football, it took us a long time to even sniff a playoff system. We had the four-teamer for 10 years, finally decided, you know what, let's do a few more teams. Some people don't like it. I don't know. I get it. I'm embracing it. Seeding is dumb, but I'll get over that. And we'll play these first-round games. We got some nifty matchups, starting with Clemson and Texas. You got SMU going on the road to Happy Valley to play Penn State. You've got some southern teams that are going to go and play some colder weather games like we wanted to see. And right here, number 8 versus number 9, Ohio State hosting Tennessee. Now, a lot of people are talking about how we can spice up that environment because that's what you do. You haven't had the night game in quite some time. And you'll probably hate this. I'm sure you will. I was ready for that. But
this you haven't even said it yet.
This isn't, because I know the way you think, because I know you. I've said this before when it comes to some of the most traditional games, like Michigan, you don't touch that one. You wear your normal uniforms. You hope that they wear their normal uniforms. You don't try to go colors on colors. You let the helmets, you leave the helmets alone. But for this one, 8 o'clock, I can see a blackout. I can see the fans wearing black, and I can see black uniforms for this. Now, again, you're scoffing, you're shaking your head. Now tell me why. Why is it too far, too out of bounds for Austin Ward to go and do something like that?
Think about some of the parts of this matchup that you talked about, like at the start of the show.
Like tradition?
An SEC,
like Tennessee and Ohio State, yes.
These fans have wanted for so long an SEC team to come up north and test themselves in the horseshoe. That's it. You want to see it. Like, you don't want to give them the opportunity, but, oh, well, you get to bring out our icy whites if they're going all black. Like, don't give them any of that. Let's see the orange of Rocky Top.
So
let's see
the scarlet and gray. Scarlet. Just scarlet, the
and
shoe.
They need to
forget about the blackout. Would you go with all red for the fans or just do nothing for that matter?
You said spicy for the horseshoe. It's a night game. This is what they wanted. If there's not juice, if it's not sauced up after all day, late December, primetime for an SEC game, there's nothing that more that you could do, in my opinion.
I agree with you. It should be sauced up for the first ever playoff game, but don't you think, I think the appearance when you get the blimp shots and everyone in the stands is almost wearing the same color. I think it looks cool, like in the NBA when fans do that. Ooh, is it the Warriors that started to do the whiteouts mostly? That's all I'm saying. It just adds to it. If we want to compromise here maybe and not touch the uniforms, I could go for that. If we get everybody wearing the same color t-shirt or coat for the night, but we just go with the classic uniform
battle. The cold part is the hard part. We're talking December 21st at 8 p.m.
You're already shelling out $1,000 for the tickets. You can't get on Homage or whatever and get a $200 jacket of your choice. I mean, come on now.
Let's not worry about looking cool. Let's just go win.
I know right? that. I know that. You the team doesn't have to be thinking about this. This is for the other folks to be looking at.
We need the gray sleeves. That's what we 100%. Need. That won us a national championship. Gray sleeves.
Right here to my left for the Bobby Carpenter jersey.
I think you need to be talking about, like, I mean, Nike usually does a good job of this when it's the playoff of they've got these things, you know, locked away, ready to roll, bust them out into the biggest games. Like, I hope that that's the part Ohio State has the gray sleeves and can pay homage to the past teams and the success and the national championship. That needs to happen. I want that. I don't want to see Ohio State playing in a black jersey or a gray jersey or a color rush for this one. I think they shouldn't have to do anything special, in my opinion. This is the first playoff game in the horseshoe. They wanted a primetime game. They also are getting it against an SEC team. If that doesn't get the fans jazzed up, and I know that it will, I don't expect this to be a dud of an atmosphere. I think it's going to be awesome in every single way.
You know what we finally got that I was clamoring for before the Michigan game? I was wondering about it just with it being November, and I know they hadn't had a lot of home games before, but the flyover from the Jets.
Yeah.
There's just, I don't know what it is. There's like a kid in me where you see the fighter jets fly over. It's nothing better.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a stealth bomber.
Cool. Yeah.
But I like a formation of, I'll take the F-16s or the F-18s over the stealth bomber any day of the week.
Really?
Yeah, take that, stealth.
Okay. I guess I'd never really thought about
it. You're not even supposed to see anyway. You're a stealth, for God's sakes.
Why are you slowing down?
Right? Why are you flying so slow? I can see your black matte finish from the A-deck here.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about a preference there, but I would think no black matte finish on the helmets and no black jerseys for me.
There you go. No stealth with the unis, no stealth flying over.
If that's what if that's what you want, Timmy, you know, I certainly understand anybody wanting to make sure that no stone is unturned to make sure that the horseshoe is as hostile as possible for Tennessee. But I just don't think it's going to be a problem. I think for the big games, whether Kirk Herbstreit agrees or not, Ohio State fans show up, even if it's at noon. They were awesome for the Indiana game. Top five showdown.
Absolutely,
it was
difficult for the Hoosiers
to handle that. They
messed up some stuff because of the fans.
Offensive execution. They botched snaps. They had a false start penalty. That's going to happen for Tennessee. And I think that's the only thing you have to say. Buckeye Nation, are you going to show up for a playoff game against an SEC team in primetime? It's everything that you've ever asked for, all in one. Now, the playoff game might be the thing you didn't know you needed to ask for because that didn't exist this moment.
I mean, this,
but now you've got it all.
This is a must win for the Buckeyes, and Buckeye Nation can appreciate that, and they've felt everything. And again, it's when you let the disappointment of the Michigan game now turn to excitement for what you have here. And Ryan Day here talking about it just yesterday. Obviously, this is a once-in-a-lifetime deal, this college football playoff.
I mean, this has never happened before. So I think it's exciting. I think it's exciting for our players. I think it's exciting for our coaches and staff. It's exciting for our fans to be part of something. And, you know, that's never really been done before. And so also having a night game, you know, in the horseshoe, and who knows what the weather will be. It'll be great. It'll be electric. And so, and we're all excited about it. So it's the first time for this. And, you know, it's just very different than it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. We're just in a different time. And so, man, when are we going to go? And, you know, we'll practice outside like we continue to do to make sure that, you know, we're ready for the elements, because, you know, that this time of year, that becomes a big part of it.
Yeah, I mean, the weather is the big thing that everybody was a little hesitant, maybe concerned about for late December. But come on, it's one more game.
Yeah.
Get out there. You got cold in late November anyway. You get freezing temps. It was ridiculously cold. It was so cold the morning of the Michigan game. We moved our pregame show. We let those softies come back here and host the show from inside. Anthony Rothman and company, though, no, get back out there. It's 8:30. You host from campus.
Also, yesterday it was 55 in the San Diego of the Midwest. So
you never
it was a
know.
Beautiful
you
day.
Never know.
I don't think that's what's going to be the case on the 21st at 8 p.m., but I've seen Tennessee pucker up a little bit when it gets around 50 and worry about the heaters on their benches. So that's all going to be new and difficult for them. So, you know, I would say you don't have to add anything to it. It's going to be special on its own, Timmy.
If you guys miss anything or missed anything from the first 90 or so minutes of the program, as soon as it's done, it is available for download wherever you get your audio. Just search up The Buckeye Show, and you've got your podcast right there on your listening device. And we've had a lot of conversation, obviously, about the 8-9 game, Ohio State hosting Tennessee in a historical college football playoff matchup. In just 2 minutes here, we got a pretty big update with something Buckeye Hoops related as they stare down their biggest game of the season. That's next. It's the Buckeye Show on
using the Buckeye hookup to play golf at Scarlet whenever we can. This is the Buckeye Show.
Nothing like a little golf rejoin in December, hey, Austin?
I love it. There's got to be a good reason for it.
There really isn't. They're completely random. They're in like a
I thought they were just excited for our Fairway Columbus Golf League.
They are. Those are in like a rotator thing, so we have absolutely no idea. Baker doesn't dictate what rejoin pops up, but it's something that I always like to fantasize about when it is the cold weather months.
Yeah.
Being out there on the links, just getting, you know, I've actually played a round of 18 since we started the show. I have. I haven't even discussed it with you.
How'd you play?
I played pretty well. I shot 78.
Wow.
It's not so bad.
Where'd you throw away those shots in your mind?
It's not so bad. You know, you'd think, well, if you're playing a mental round, why didn't you shoot 72? Well, I'm trying to be realistic.
Oh, okay.
I'm not trying to, like, pull one over the golf gods, okay? They're like, you have never shot par in your life, so why are you going to shoot par mentally?
Well, maybe your putting is really sharp today.
Yeah, the short game, I threw away a couple of strokes at the beginning of my round, but as I made the turn, I got up and down four times on the back nine.
Got that hot putter.
I shot one over par, and the putting was good.
Literally a hot putter.
So, yeah, hot putter. Oh, I got the... That's good. Story, quick story, before I give you this headline. What Austin said about the hot putter is apparently there was some news swirling around about where I got my Scotty Cameron putter and if they were hot or whatever, picked up off the street. I bought it from a very reputable source. I'll just put it that way. I don't know anything about any hot putters. It frankly sounds made up to me. What I do know is that Dom Tiberi came in here one day saying, hey, I got a read on these Scotty Cameron putters. Just let me know if you ever want one of them. So he goes yapping about it. I obviously get back to him and say, sure, I've always wanted. I've been holding out to get a Scotty Cameron. I think every golfer just wants to have one in their arsenal, even if it's not the one that's in your rotation. Putters look good in the basement, you know, if you just want to hit a couple of putts down there.
Yep.
And butts as well. You can slap the wife's butt, hit a couple of putts.
Butts and putts.
It's all
that's
good.
That's what the basement's
slap them,
for.
Slapping butts and making putts. That's what it's all about. So he tells me that, and as soon as I respond, he then just comes back and says, oh, sorry, they're all gone. I'm like, well, thanks for telling me.
Yeah.
So,
well, weird that a bunch of $200 Scotty Camerons immediately were snapped up off the shelves.
Of course they're gone, right? Yeah. If you're getting someone the Friends deal and they're, you know, 50, 65% less than retail and they're still in their wrappers, yeah, I think they're going to go. So I had to wait around for a month or two until the guy got back to me that someone turned one in, didn't like the setup or the style of it. I didn't want the mallet style. I just wanted the old Newport. That's really...
the classic.
Call me crazy, holding out for the one that's as close to the Tiger Woods style Scotty Cameron. So I got one, and then I had to modify it. So I could never send it back to Scotty Cameron or send it back to the Titleist folks. They wouldn't touch it anymore because I did modify the putter. But I went, have you seen Wyndham Clark's putter? Mm-hmm. He's got the extra long shaft.
Yeah.
It's like two, three inches longer than standard. So
that's seeing your friends.
That's what I did. And I love it. I got to tell you, I'm just so much more comfortable standing over the ball. Yeah. Well, it's fun to talk golf, isn't it?
It sure is. Yeah. And we're going to do that.
No, so we're going to have a fan indoor golf league coming up, and it's going to be at Fairway Columbus. We're going to have more info on that soon.
They dropped it today.
It's out there. So there you go. You can see that 971thefan.com. The Fan Indoor Golf League starts January 5th. Me and Austin are really excited to be a part of that. The setups are just sweet. Oh my God. Sweet setups. The TrackMan. So Fan Indoor Golf League presented by Woodford. And it's right there at Fairway Columbus. I'm going there tomorrow night to hang out and have a good time.
Can't beat my guy
Glenn from York.
Place is awesome. Love those guys. Scott, the whole crew, Todd, Nick, everybody there is awesome. Excited for the league. I think it's the first 10 people that sign up that get a discount, so don't want to miss that.
No, and the discount's obscene. It's like under $30, I think.
Yeah, $30 per round.
Yeah, it's under $30 a round.
Don't miss it
on that. Yeah, it is good stuff. So the Buckeye basketball news, they're coming up with the game against Auburn this weekend, and today on his radio show, Jake Diebler let it be known that Aaron Bradshaw is back with the team. So the 7'1" center that transferred from Kentucky, we've said many times he was a 5-star recruit on the trail, did not get the playing time that he foresaw with Big Blue. He left, looked elsewhere, came here to the Buckeyes. We know that there was a report in the Dispatch that Adam Jardy found of some kind of investigation for a domestic incident at his apartment. Ohio State basketball has not said anything details-wise as to what that was. I understand how those are still going to be questions that need to be asked and answered as to, well, what happened? Like, where does that stand? Because that could be a problem, you know, but not necessarily back in the game yet on Saturday. He could be. We just don't know for sure. That wasn't given, but he's back with the team right now. And I got to tell you, I wasn't sure we'd be seeing him back when what was reported was reported.
Given the initial statements from Ohio State talking about that, and you know, anytime you hear investigations into allegations like that and indeterminate time period or indefinite suspension, my mind thinks, well, that goes to the worst case scenario, because otherwise you wouldn't be as proactive about getting that out there about here's what's happening, because you're also talking about a key component and someone who'd be hard to miss on the bench or in the building for Ohio State. This is someone that was brought in for a reason to help Jake Diebler in this program get things rolling. So I didn't think he was going to be back. I didn't think it was going to be resolved as quickly as it has. It seems like that's a step in the right direction. But again, we still don't know many of the details about what's going on here, including when he might actually play a game.
So we're going to find that out. We're going to find out. But they do play 1:00 on Saturday against Auburn. They're one of the best teams. They got Johnny Broome, who is like a walking 24-12 guy. They are very, very good. Coached by old, let's have Aaron Kraft to the barbecue.
I just can't Bruce get Pearl. Away right now with the ties to Tennessee and Ohio State.
No kidding.
And I mean, Bruce Pearl was down there getting into all kinds of shenanigans when I was in Knoxville.
That was probably having AC to the barbecue was probably when you were covering things, right?
There was some overlap there.
Yep.
NCAA investigations and I fortunately
and lying about it
did not have to cover the men's basketball team for the Knoxville News Sentinel. And I'm glad that I didn't because I saw a lot of things and heard a lot of things that I did not want to be part of down there with him. I was always amused by when he was going through his divorce and his wife was still living in Knoxville and she just used some of the payout money to build herself a little nail salon called Alimony. And I doubt that that's still in business, but
it's like a great name for a boat after a good divorce too.
But all kinds of shenanigans in Tennessee and Ohio State ties still going around and it extends to Bruce Pearl Saturday at 1.
I like that. Alimony. Nothing like a good shot across the bow. Yeah.
I don't think it was ever
money,
very...
I'm going to shove it right back in
I
your
don't
face.
Think it was a successful business. I think it doesn't just matter. Lighting some of that money
it
on
doesn't
fire.
Matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that wasn't the point.
Not the point of it. It's just a great
Let
name.
Let it burn, baby. Let it burn.
There was more on the way.
So back to football here as we're getting ready for Ohio State taking on Tennessee in a historic matchup. It's coming up in a week and a half. It's going to fly by. We got the Saturday night matchup. Notre Dame, Indiana catches that Friday night matchup, if you're curious. And then... Of course, once that wasn't going to be the Buckeyes, you knew that they were likely with this 8-9 game against Tennessee going to get the primetime treatment. And they do. And they were due to get a night game. Had to go through six straight big noon kickoffs.
It's about time. It's why it's important not to miss the Buckeye show, Tim. Because what did we say on Friday night in here?
Saturday night.
I said.
And I already had the programming schedule set for it.
I told you.
So
I said,
great.
And you had it. I said, well, Notre Dame is already telling their ticket holders, their boosters, they have the Friday night game. Yep. There's no way ESPN is turning down an Ohio State game.
No.
Not in a primetime. They're not going to hand it over to TNT.
They don't get any Ohio State games.
No.
So they needed that one.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, they were going to do it. Sorry, Notre Dame. So
well, Notre Dame got what they wanted. They did want the Friday night.
Well,
Penn State.
They can have it.
You're playing at noon again. You escaped Fox, but you're still on noon. Sorry.
White out in the sunshine. Not quite the same effect, right?
Never is.
Still solid. But you know what? You got to worry about beating Pony Express because that would be pretty embarrassing if you lost to that SMU team, which I can actually see happening. It's not how I had my bracket picked.
Ooh, you
but
don't?
I'm sure some upsets are going to happen in there. I went chalk. Did you fill out a bracket already? Because
I did not.
I went right through it during our special. And sad to say, and again, you'll hate me for it. It's just where I am with things. I've got the Buckeyes winning the first game. Might be a stumbling block in that next round against Oregon. They'll have their chance to prove me wrong and continue that road. But I had a third Texas Georgia.
Oh no, Timmy.
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Those teams stink. That game was horrible.
It's just
Carson
the way it
Beck's
goes.
Gonna be out. You think the Stockman's going through?
Yeah, the Stockman, John Stockton, is gonna take those guys back to the championship game, and Texas and Quinn Ewers is going to get him right there.
Ohio State is going to beat Notre Dame in the national championship game.
Buckeyes and Irish?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's going to be wild if we get the Buckeyes
Buckle
and
up,
the
baby.
Irish. Here was Ryan Day talking about how this is a lot different than bowl prep right now.
You know, we took last week to rest up a little bit. We were on the field twice, and then we have a plan for this week and how we're going to attack this week, and then next week will be game week. It's different than anything in the past. You know, we'll finish up finals here this week, which is good, give our guys more time. But this week is really, you know, we got to get the game plan in, we got to get it going, and then next week we're right into game plan week. So it's really the only difference is really this week right here, and I think we got a really good plan for it. I've talked to Jim, I've talked to Chip. You know, we'll keep evaluating it as we move forward.
It's another lesser talked about fact is that bowl game lifestyle is out the window. This is totally different. We're in a playoff system now, so you get that game, you focus on Tennessee, then you move on to the next thing, and you probably don't have the hoopla going into it before.
Yeah, no, it won't be the same. Ohio State will win. They beat Tennessee on the 21st. They will fly out. The team arrives on the 29th to the Rose Bowl. So that's not the same, where typically they'd get there
a week ahead.
26, 27.
And do a bunch of events and appearances.
Yeah, you have the day at Disneyland. You have the Beef Bowl, where they're going out there and eating the horrible prime rib.
That.
Like, all that stuff is out the window. It's still a couple days to acclimate when you're out on that site, but it's not the full week like it used to be, which is great.
Austin Ward is here, folks. Baby, there's another bracket that caught my eye today. Certain hardcore fans out there will likely love this. That and more, we're going to look at some hashtags. Forgot the name of the own damn segment. Hashtag Buckeyes next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place.
This is your Heritage Sports Talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Social media can be a cesspool. Allow us to navigate the waters. Hashtag Buckeyes.
Sponsored by The Waterworks. Plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling. From sump pumps and water heaters to full heating and cooling repair and replacement. The Waterworks tackles it all. Call 614-232-2222 today.
By the way, Austin, can you lean over here and see my computer screen real quick? Austin Ward, our Buckeye football expert and man from The Podcast, is in tonight on The Buckeye Show. The fits for our man, Joey B. How would you describe that track? It is a track suit. I'm sure this is probably like $900 minimum.
Are those supposed to be like Christmas lights wrapped around him?
Yeah, we got like a black track suit with horizontal squiggly lines that are yellow, pink, red, white, and blue. I'm sure to fashionistas out there, this is hot. Like, this is hot. And Joey B can pull off just about anything.
I got to say, I haven't felt like he's been pulling off these insane fits.
Yeah.
I don't like looking at them, but I do like watching him play football.
I love watching him play football.
So if that's giving him confidence to go out there and slice people up, I guess I'm going to have to stomach it.
The fits are a little out there for him because he feels like an everyman. He feels like a central. He's an Athens guy. He's a central Southern Ohio guy that spent time here with the Buckeyes, of course. But I mean, I guess when you're making $50 million a year, things can change. I'd like to see what you walk in wearing if I somehow found $20 million a year for you.
I bet it would be shorts and a quarter zip.
I don't think it would. I think your quarter zip would be laced in gold, though.
Ooh, well,
I'd put you in a golden.
I'm a simple man.
Corner zip and shorts.
I'm a simple man.
I'd get some chains on you. You would never want to take them off.
I guess it started with the Eminem bleach blonde Slim Shady look that he had in training camp. Right. I thought that set the bad tone.
Is that the reason that the season has gone off the rails?
I think it is.
Forget about the fact that his stats have been good. Maybe it was that hair in the beginning.
Or the fact that he's taking up so much of the salary cap. The Bengals can't afford any other good players.
That you can see at NFL memes dubbed it like this. Joe Burrow dressed like a 90s movie theater carpet. It's not bad. It's a solid comparison.
It looks like a light bright.
What the light bright is good too. With the black background and just the multicolored lights. Yes, that's good.
It's not my favorite.
That's a reference I can get behind. So the college basketball fan in me, oh, this was great. You follow the Reddit college football account, right?
I don't.
Oh, you don't? Okay. No. You got a little tired of them at some point?
It's too much.
Just a little too
much?
It's
too much for me.
Bridge too far for Austin? Come on, just have some fun. They're just goofing around.
I know they are.
So
it gets put in my feed. Don't worry. I just don't follow.
It's there anyway.
Yeah.
You can't escape those algorithms.
You cannot.
It doesn't matter if you follow or not. So
it's like this guy only follows college football accounts. This was going to pop in. Sorry.
Well, they did the NIT bracket. I don't know why I didn't think about this yet since we had a real bracket. Now we've got the college football playoff NIT bracket. Who says no? They said, I'm assuming they went with who would have been right beyond in the rankings. So it looks like this. Well, no, because Illinois is a ways down. So sometimes you kind of groove one in to have a bye. So you've got Alabama as the one seed, Miami as the two, BYU the three, and Illinois catches the four.
That's just the next Big Ten team in the rankings.
I see what they did. They went with the next big conference teams down, the next Big Ten team in the rankings with Illinois. So you've got a 8-9 matchup of Mizzou hosting Syracuse going into the one seed Alabama. To go to who feeds into the Miami at the two, you've got Iowa State hosting Army in a 7-10 game. Then down to the bottom right of the bracket where it's BYU is the three, you've got 6-seeded South Carolina, the Gamecocks, hosting the 11-seed Colorado Buffaloes. And then the last matchup, 5th-seed Ole Miss hosting 12th-seed UNLV. That just seems like a classic college basketball 5-12.
It would.
Where UNLV is going to go in there.
Motivated.
Just motivated. You know, thoughts of Larry Johnson and Greg Anthony dancing through their heads. And they'll win that game. And they'll be playing Illinois. So there's your NIT bracket. From the folks at Reddit right there.
Yeah, and you'd have to ask which team is motivated to play in the NIT, who actually wants those extra practices and those extra game opportunities. That's what I think.
Exactly. Who's going to opt out?
I think Brett Bielema,
play in the NIT.
Yeah, Brett Bielema's not going to be dealing with many opt outs.
No, they're going to be. They're going to have vigor and they'll be ready to go.
I think I'm taking the Fighting Illini to win that whole bracket.
You like Illinois to win it all, right there?
Yeah, and I think Syracuse would be motivated to play. So I think they'd probably they'd
Kyle
beat Missouri.
McCord.
I think that Alabama's going to have a million opt outs and a million guys in the portal. So Syracuse could win that one. Illinois over Syracuse.
I tell you what, yeah, it's going to be, that Bama, Illinois. Sorry, did you have Bama?
I'm taking Syracuse over Alabama.
Syracuse beating Bama.
And then Illinois over Syracuse.
I really like Iowa State out of the right side of this bracket.
Yeah, Miami's going to be dealing with a ton of portal guys. They're already doing that because the checks are bouncing. Who could have ever seen that coming down there?
Do you think South Carolina would be invested in something like this?
More so than Colorado.
Potentially see an Iowa State-South Carolina semifinal?
Ooh.
Or do you like BYU?
I don't think BYU would be having many opt-outs either. So I think you'd be getting a real look at what their team looked like. I think you're going BYU-South Carolina matchup. And then I think I'd probably take the Gamecocks in that one. I don't think they're going to suffer from a ton of attrition against Iowa State.
Yeah, I'm going to take Iowa State beating Illinois in the NIT championship right there.
That's
feels
fun.
Like a
I can
like
get
a
behind that
matchup.
Bracket.
Yeah, that's a fun little bracket to think about, to throw around there. I also like this one from Ryan Ginn. Alabama and their media lackeys explaining why it's actually good to lose 40-35 to Vanderbilt and 24-3 to Oklahoma. Apparently there's a big board in their facility that just says no excuses, with the word no crossed out and the word some scribbled in above it, which is exactly what they're doing now at Alabama.
He was so proud of that tweet. He sent it to Bill Landis and I the other day because he
sure he was,
you know, now that he's
got
down there
a half a million times.
Yeah. Back in his element down there. In New Orleans as a lawyer now, my former colleague Ryan Ginn gets to be a little bit more of a fan and poke the bear and poke fun at
it's a great
Alabama.
Tweet.
He was nervous at 12 because he thought they were still going to get in, and he wanted to be able to fire that off.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And again, they want to change their whole entire philosophy. Oh, I mean, I guess, you know, with SMU's strength of schedule is that, and our strength of schedule is way up here, 15th in the country, and there's like 55th. Maybe we should just schedule our entire philosophy. But I guess, you know, ESPN doesn't want to have good games. I guess our broadcast partner there doesn't like us too much. Or you just lost three games in conference. Don't lose to Vanderbilt.
You can't blame non-conference scheduling when you didn't lose non-conference games. What are you talking about, Alabama?
You could have even had one lousy loss, I think. I think you would have been safe if you either just lost the Vandy or the Oklahoma game.
Can't do
you
both.
You likely still get in. Just don't do both. Yeah, you can't do all of it. You got to stop the madness at some point. Stupid.
Oklahoma out there just giving up 100 points a game to everyone else. And Alabama's, no, we're good with three.
Hey, how about this? We didn't discuss this. Welcome back, Scott Frost.
Yes. Good for him.
Back at Central Florida where the magic started.
Where he belongs.
Yeah, national championship season incoming for Central Florida.
College football playoff next season.
Yeah,
let's go.
Wouldn't it be hilarious, though? Wouldn't it?
If he gets a national championship?
No, it's not going to win a national championship. Just get
Well, they might
the
award themselves one.
They could. Even with a first round exit.
They've got a banner.
That would be great.
It's up.
All right, guys. We've got the Cincinnati Bengals and the Dallas Cowboys. Boy, what a game this could have been, right? We're going to play it anyway.
What's the deal with this Simpsons broadcast? I don't really understand what the point of it is.
I don't know, but I'll likely watch the entire game.
Wait, in the cartoon format?
Doing it that way in the cartoon format.
I haven't seen any of these, like the Toy Story one or whatever else that they've pulled.
I did the SpongeBob one, and that was fun.
Okay.
Liberty doesn't know Simpsons, though, right?
No. And she likes.
But we do.
And she likes, but she likes football. You know, we.
So just watch football.
So we just watch football.
You're crazy.
Hey, I don't know why you gotta spice it up.
We need
the same thing with the horseshoe.
Black uniforms and a blackout.
Let them play ball.
I don't want to watch the Buckeyes. I want them to be made into digital guys. I want Madden players out there.
Oh.
Austin.
Well, don't give him any ideas.
I'll hear you on the juice tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
I'll be back here very soon.
He's sleeping in the corner. Be there, everybody. Baker, good stuff. Thanks for doing it, my man. Yep, little thing called Monday Night Football. Bengals versus Cowboys. Up next on The Fan.
Bo Bishop is a media legend. We have no idea where the other guys came from. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.